the earth gives way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though the sea roars with foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Can you picture that scene? It's kind of a pretty scary, awesome scene. If you're walking along, and the ground stops being firm, it starts into a landslide, and you've got to move on rather quickly. And then you look in the distance, you can see this mountain by the sea, and it just kind of sloughs off into the sea. And the sea's rough and stormy, that's kind of scary. Shaking with the sea, churning up on all kinds of foam. And the mountains that are still there, like the one you're on, is shaking. But God is with you. And you don't fall. You still stand firm. After rushing off that sinking sand. There are countless ways we can have crisis and feel like the ground beneath our feet is giving way, yet God is our refuge and our strength. He is not far away, even when we don't feel Him near. God is always near, closer than a brother. The song goes on, verse 4. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at daybreak. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, thinking about rivers, many large cities are beside a river or a lake. It's a source of drinking water, irrigation, and also a source of transportation for goods and people. But you look at Jerusalem, there's no river beside it. There's no lake beside it. So how can Jerusalem have a river? And certain unless you think of God's blessings. Certainly God's blessings have flown by Jerusalem. God's blessings poured out greatly in the time of King David and in the time of Solomon. They went from this little country to a large country, taking up a lot of the territory from quite a bit south to touching on the Tigris or the Euphrates River. And as long as God was with them, the city of Jerusalem wouldn't fall. As long as the kings and the people were close to God, they were quite secure. The New Jerusalem, it has a river. As you probably know, Revelations 21:1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer a sea. Skipping over to Revelations 22:1, then the angel showed me the river of life. This is in the city of God in Jerusalem. As clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And today, the Holy Spirit is that main channel of God's love, God's blessing flowing to His people, to us. Verse 6, the transition is from physical dangers to political Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. There is reason today to be concerned about the world scene, as multitude of countries are lining up and either helping or hindering different nations in Europe or even in south of us, in the other countries of this continent, the Americas. Should we panic? Should we? Or trust in God? The song goes on, verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Sometimes wars end because of a peace treaty. Sooner or later, there's a peace treaty. Sometimes they end, though, because God is in the fight. So chariots, a very good advantage at one point, bog down. The equipment fails. And panic and chaos cause armies to fight each other or to flee in terror because God has amplified the sound of just four lepers walking out to get to beg for food, which is 2 Kings 7. In the midst of all these big concerns of war, what advice does God give to us? He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In the midst of crisis, it's not easy to be still and trust God. I don't know about you, but I consider buying and selling houses to kind of be a crisis. And it's work for me to put my trust in God. And not be nervous all the time. Will we get enough? Things. That may not mean trusting in God and His refuge. You know, that may not mean that we do nothing, but that we're choosing to trust in God. When you say He, when you see that He is protecting, that He is working for your protection, well then praise His name. So Martin Luther, and not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther, who had at one time been a Catholic priest, he'd studied and learned from the scriptures and became convinced that men and women are only justified by faith before God. Just like Abraham in Genesis 15, it says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And just like it says in Hebrews 10, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one that shrinks back. Those faith versus someone without faith. Well, Martin Luther, in the town of Wittenberg, he was a teacher there, a religious teacher. And one day, he wrote down his convictions in 95 theses or propositions. So people could discuss them, and the students could write papers for or against them and stuff. And the church heard about his convictions. And he talked about one of his convictions in there was about indulgences. That was the great moneymaker of the church at the time. They decided they would sell these indulgences, give you permission to do something sinful, and they'd make lots of money, and you'd get to sin and be okay. And, you know, they can be as small as, I want to overeat Friday night at the party. And you can pay your $5 and get an indulgence for that. So it wouldn't be sinful for you to overeat that night. They can also be a lot more expensive. I can kill my brother-in-law. And any number of other things. And they had the church had a building project going on for a long, long time, and this was a real good money maker. And Martin Luther, in his thesis, he said indulgences were wrong. People are saved by their faith in God. Here's what one man wrote about the events. Luther's ramshackle cart wobbled its way to Worms, Germany, in April of 1521. He'd been summoned to appear before the emperor and the Catholic prelates to give an account of this new heresy he was teaching called justification by faith alone. The learned Johann Eck laid out all of Luther's writings and then asked him if he was prepared to repent, to say, yeah, you convinced me, I don't believe that anymore. Luther retired to his room for the night to think over his answer. And he opened his Bible, it fell open to Psalm 46. And that impressed Luther. That's the psalm we're looking at today. Luther returned the next morning, standing before his detractors in response to their call to repent. Luther responded, unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason. That interesting, it says plain reason, not some chain of strange reason, plain, simple reason. I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. And that was the start of the Reformation. Psalm 46, by the way, was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. And during the dark and dangerous periods of the Reformation, Luther would turn to his trusted friend, Philip Melanchthon, and exclaim, let's sing Psalm 46 and let the devil do his worst. It inspired him to write that hymn that we sang, Mighty Fortress is Our God. Only it was in German. Thinking back to the words of the Psalm 46, when has God been your stronghold? When was God Israel's stronghold? That's what I should say. And the answer is, when the kings and the people were close to God. And that's especially in the time of David and the time of Solomon. And when did God's protection disappear and Jerusalem could be conquered? When the kings and the people wandered away. And after many, many years of following other gods, probably a little bit of Yahweh, a little bit of following God, and a lot of following all these other gods, yeah, after many, many warnings and encouragements, the northern kingdom and then the southern kingdom of Jerusalem fell. They were sent into exile. So when is God our refuge? When we're trusting in Him and not walking away from Him. How far can God be trusted?
All the way.
To eternity.
All the way to eternity. If you and I live to see the end times, those scary times when the stars are rolled back like a scroll, when the sun and the moon are darkened, And eventually the earth passes away. You don't have to be afraid. You can still be safe. You're trusting in God, even if the earth has changed so much. Here are some other scriptures. It says over in Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. Another is in Joel 3:16. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for His people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. We know that for His own purposes, which might be to build our character, God will allow things in our life that we wouldn't choose. Certainly that was right in Job's life. So being right with God is not a guarantee that we won't have any trouble, but there is security in trusting God. It really is solid. We can even be safe in God's arms if the world dissolves away, safe in Christ. And it will dissolve away. That Revelation 21 again, then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there is no longer any sea. But it's dependent upon our closeness to God. Israel was safe, was secure, and expanded their territory while they were close to God. But when they drifted away to other things, to other gods, they were not safe and secure. So I'd ask, what crises are you facing in your life today? There are countless ways that you can face a crisis. You can have a financial crisis. Depending upon your age and who you're around, you can have a crisis of peer pressure or family issues, pressures, and a crisis of you got to go to court, work pressures. Where do you find shelter? Where do you find relief and comfort when you're stressed? You know, I think it's good to have savings and to have retirement and to plan. And yet there's something wrong if there's too much trust in our savings and our investments. And, you know, when the Great Depression hit, there were people that jumped out of windows because they were ruined financially. Where do you seek shelter? From video games? From drinking or drugs, from sexual pursuits, those are all distractions. So at least we don't have to think about the danger we're in. How are any of those things going to really help us? I know of only one sure refuge, and that is God. I want you to remember, there is a refuge. It's God. And you have His word on it. There is a river that blesses. And when you're in relation with God, there is a reason for all that happens. Maybe it's to build your character. I don't know the reasons, but God knows. And let's sing the first part of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And then we'll close in prayer.
Thank you.
such a relationship with you that you're there for us because we're there with you. Whatever crisis people are facing in this room right now, I pray that they would turn those things over to you and shelter within you and not put too much time or interest in less adequate shelters. Ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you.